Morning. How's everybody this morning? We'll try that again. How's everybody doing this morning? Take just a minute and greet your neighbors. Go ahead.
What?
We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. We are excited that you are here for worship this morning. As we get started, we'd like to find out who is in worship with us. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite everyone to take those, members and guests. If you could take that, write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, give us any contact information you'd like, and then send it down so everybody has a chance on your pew to fill that out. We do ask, once it gets to the last person on the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started. Members, this is your opportunity to find out the name of a guest that's on your pew and introduce yourself at the end of the service. Once it does get back to the very first person who signed it this morning, we ask for your help. Just tear out the pages that were used today and put that on top, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. A few things that we'll draw attention to, things that are happening in our church. Many of these things are listed under upcoming events as well as opportunities for the week. So we want to draw your attention to a couple of those. This afternoon at 5:30, we are having a New York City mission team presentation. Our high schoolers went to New York City this past summer, and they have a lot of stories that they want to tell you. And that's going to happen today at 5:30. There will be a cookout at 5:30, and then at 6 o'clock, we'll have about a 45-minute to an hour presentation of the stories and all the ways that God really impacted the team. We're excited about that today. We want everyone to come. You do not want to miss this. If you want to hear how God answers prayers, and you haven't experienced it, which we all have, but if you want to hear an extraordinary amount of answered prayer, come tonight. You do not want to miss tonight. 5:30 is the cookout. 6 o'clock is the presentation. Let's see. We do ask for all of our parents, our youth who are able. If you are able to help at 4 o'clock, we're going to get started getting set up this afternoon to help us with that would be great. Other things you'll see listed there, opportunities for the week. You see family ministry team today at 4 o'clock. Because of the New York City presentation, we will not be meeting. The family ministry team will not be meeting today. We will reschedule that a little bit later. Let me see. We are having children's time today. This is the second time that Mary has left me out of the bulletin. And I'm starting to have a complex with it. So maybe next time she'll remember. But she has been sick this week, and we're going to feel sorry for her. So on the count of three, I need everybody to go, aw. One, two, three.
Aw.
Okay. Now, she won't forget next time. All right. So, but we are going to have children's time today. And I had the pastor's permission to do all of that. Right after the very first hymn, we're going to have children's time. So we invite all the kids to come down and talk with me for just a few minutes. Next Sunday is a very special day in the life of our church. We have a lot of young people. They're not young anymore. They're getting older and older. But we have several of our people who are serving churches in our area. And one of them will be getting ordained next Sunday afternoon. Brian Edmonds will be getting ordained, and we're excited to join in that celebration. And we want you to come at 4 o'clock for that ordination. There will be a reception following that. So that's a high and holy day. And we hope that you come and support Brian and his family for that ordination. Okay, I think that's it. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers coming down the aisles now. You have given us your information just a few moments ago on the pew pad. If you're a guest, we invite you just to raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers will come back down the aisles. They'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So we appreciate your presence this day, and we pray that God would reveal himself in a mighty way to all of us as we worship in spirit and in truth. Let us prepare for worship. Let's pray together. Father, when we come into this place, your holy sanctuary, it is made holy not because we are here, but because you are here. It's you we need to hear from. It's you that has the answers to our questions, the solutions to our problems, the forgiveness to our sins, the hope to our despair. So, Father, come into this place. Make it a holy sanctuary. Let us sing. Make a joyful noise to you. Everything that's done in this place, may it be done to glorify you and you alone. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Tyler Summers, too. Yes. I'm going to start calling you out. Come in. Have a seat. How's everybody?
He tried that like he was a youth. I know what he did.
All right, we'll wait just a second. How's everybody doing today? Good. All right. You're sleepy? Well, I have two things I'm going to teach you today. Two things, all right? So, does anybody know what the strongest part of your hand is? Okay? Palm? You would think so. Your fingers. Now, you medical people, make sure I get this right. Now, if I'm not doing it right, just don't tell me. It is the strongest part of your hand are your fingers. You think about all the things that you can do with your fingers. But do you know what the weakest part of your hand is? No? That's a good guess, though. No? That little place right in between your fingers. That is the weakest part of. And this is something we do with the youth. They don't always like to do this. But when we pray, what we decide to do is we get into a circle. Jesse, can I use your hand for just an example? And hold my hand just like that. You see like that? When we get in a circle and we pray together, we hold hands like that. Why do you think I would do that? Yeah, okay. But what happens? My finger covers up. The strongest part of my hand covers up the weakest part of my neighbor's hand. Why do you think I do that?
I don't know.
Why do you think I do that? Let me ask it this way. Have you ever made a mistake? How many of you have made a mistake already today? Already today? If you haven't raised your hand, you better get your hand up. Caleb, I know you've made a mistake. All right? Now, but how many of you have gotten forgiveness for that mistake? This could be this morning. Maybe you need to confess. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. Yeah. What I try to do is I want you to remember, you are very, 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 very important. You are very special. You protect the quarterback. That's right. You are very important. And here's why. You are a special part of what God has made. Here at College Park, you are very special. You are made just like He wanted you to be made. But we need each other, right? It's no fun to be on the playground by yourself. No, it's not. Well, for some of us. But is it more fun? Is it more fun to be on the playground with a friend? Yes. You can play games. You can hang out with your friends. God wants us to be together. You can play. Can't play tag by yourself. You'd be doing this the whole time. You'd be in or you'd be out. You didn't know who's it, right? You would be it. It's very important for you to realize how important you are to God. But guess what? That person right next to you, they're just as important as you are. And what we do is we remind the youth and we remind her to all of us. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we mess up. But we need other people to come in and cover up those mistakes and forgive us. And together, we're a lot stronger when we hold hands like this. That is why I want you to know. Pastor Raymond is going to be talking this morning about a big word, and I want you to listen for it. It's a word called community. That is all about. That's what the church is. It's a community that we do things together. We do things together. That's really important. Okay? That's good. That's what you need to talk about. It's very important. I want you to listen. Can you listen for it this morning? What Pastor Raymond talks about, that we need each other. We need to help each other.
and to forgive each other and to be strong for each other. All right? That's what God has for us. Listen real close. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your forgiveness and for the fact that you brought friends to us. And we have so many friends that love us and we love them. Father, remind us that we need each other. Sometimes we make mistakes and we need other people to come in and forgive us and cover up those mistakes and to make us stronger together than we ever are apart. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a good day.
Our scripture text this morning comes from the New Testament in the book of Ephesians. Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 3 of Ephesians, beginning at verse 14. There should be a pew Bible located close by if you don't have your Bible with you. Again, it's Ephesians 3, 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. May God add his reading, add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Bless them.
Pray together. Oh Lord, what beautiful, beautiful words to describe the power of prayer in a community of faith. You have blessed us with the opportunity to come to you directly in prayer, even though we are each just one person of many. We're sinners who have not earned your grace and mercy and the ability to speak directly to you, but you've given it to us anyway, Lord, and we thank you. Thank you for hearing those beautiful words as we stop to think about how powerful that prayer is and what it means to us. We have all felt the incredible power of prayer as others have taken time to care about us and to think about us and lift us up in prayer when a specific circumstance was going on. We have felt that. And what it is, Lord, is an incredible gift. It's a gift from our friend, and it's also a gift from you. Thank you for that gift, Lord, that sustains us and keeps us and encourages us even when we're low. And Lord, help us to realize the power of that gift and be able to share it with others. Because what a gift to be able to give, to pray for someone on a good day, on a bad day, on a normal day, to lift that person up, to give them some type of encouragement. The encouragement that we can give is good. The encouragement that can come from you and the way that you honor our prayers is incredible. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that there are people that sit to the left and right of us that care about us. And help us to care about the people that sit around us. It would be, Lord, as we have learned the hard way, a mistake to think that our problems are bigger than those around us, that our circumstances are something that only we are facing and the people around us have it better and easier and less painful than we do. Help us to remember that the people that sit to the left and right of us may be dealing with things much more deep, much more serious and troubling than we have any idea about. Help us to take the care, to take the time to invest in those people, to give them the gift of encouragement, to give them the gift of prayer, so that we will take this idea of community and faith and bring it to life every day. Because together we're stronger than we are individually. And we want to live together for you. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for the ability to come to you in prayer, not just for ourselves, but for others. And thank you for blessing others with the care and the love to care for us. Help us to return that gift today, tomorrow, and every day this week. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Lord, where do we begin in thanking you? You have blessed us with safe places to live, with plentiful food, with relationships that show us your love. Thank you. You have provided us with a place of worship and leaders to guide and encourage us to praise you. Thank you. You have given us children who openly express their wonder at your creation and who have an openness to learn about you. Thank you. Thank you for our newly refurbished preschool hallway, where we have the opportunity to introduce our preschoolers to your love and care. Thank you. Out of the bounty you have given us, we return a small portion in our offerings today. We trust that you will use these to bless others. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
This is the second Sunday in our series entitled No Perfect People Allowed, and I just want to let you know that we did get the books in. I showed them to you last week. If you would like to pick up a copy of the book, we're down to four copies. That's all we have left, including this one. So if you want to pick one of those up, you probably need to see me today or come by the office in the morning. If there's any left, they would be glad to get those to you. As we were talking and preparing for this morning's study, which is entitled Created for Community, for the 9 o'clock service, I was looking for a video that would kind of portray what we wanted to introduce the topic, and found a great video that we downloaded, and it started out and it was playing a song about lonely people, and it kind of gave some snapshots of this person that was hurt, and this person that was lonely, and this person that was kind of captured by life circumstances, and how all these people were hurting and in need, and all of this, and it builds up, and I'm sitting there going, yes, this is going to be powerful. And at the end of it, it flashes up something along the lines of, take heart, Jesus is coming back soon to take you home. I'm like, wow, really? Is that all we got here? I mean, and that is true. It is true. We should take heart because Jesus is coming back. But what about the meantime? I thought, how trite. I mean, do we give that message off as a church? It's like, well, I'm sorry you're hurting, but Jesus will come take you home soon. Is that all we got to offer one another? How about instead, if they had had at the end of it, be the church. Love one another. Encourage one another. When others are hurting, give them a hug. Be the hands and feet of Christ that actually help one another. When your brother and sister are wounded, don't curb stomp them. Pick them up. You know, and I thought, wow, that would have been a good video. I should have done that. Fortunately, we didn't have to pay for that video. It was a free download. Otherwise, I really would have been hacked off. But you know, that is, unfortunately, that's the message we send sometimes as church. By the things that we say. And sometimes maybe we don't know what to do. And so we feel awkward. I don't know how to help this person. I got a suggestion. Find someone that does. Find someone that does. Because life's too short. We have too much to do. We need to be the body of Christ, not just for the people in this congregation, in this room, but the people who are all around us that are hurting. Sometimes you don't have to say the right thing. You just need to be there to encourage them, to walk with them, to help them sort out the pieces as you go together. But also, unfortunately, as a culture, we send out the strong message. It's about independence. It's strength. In being yourself and not needing anybody else, don't we? I don't need anybody. I've got this covered. Can I help you with that? Nope. Sorry, got it covered. You know, and somehow we teach our kids that that's what's important in life, to grow up to be strong and independent, financial independence, personal freedoms. We don't need anyone. We don't need to depend on anyone else. We've got all the resources we need to stand on our own, alone. But is that what we really want? I don't see that it's really getting us happiness. If happiness is our goal or joy is our goal, I'm not seeing that that's getting it done for us. Really aren't. I saw a study recently done by a British think tank. They go by the name of NEF or New Economics Foundation, and they put together the Happy Planet Index. Sounds like a place you want to retire in. Happy Planet. but their study, basically they combine life satisfaction, life expectancy, and the resources that are required for that. In the first study I saw of this, the United States came in almost last. Yeah. 172 countries, we came in 150th. Wow. The winner, the number one happiest country, was the Republic of Vanuatu. Yeah, really? Xanadu? No, Vanuatu. Vanuatu, with a population of around 200,000 people, is located in the South Pacific, east of Australia, in the group of islands that we call the archipelago. And the spokesperson for Vanuatu, when he had been told that his country was the happiest place on earth, he said, "Don't tell anybody else. We don't want y'all to come here ruining it. Please, don't tell anybody else." And then he went on to say, and this is a direct quote, "People are generally happy here. Because they are very satisfied with very little." This is not a consumer-driven society. Life here is about community and family and goodwill to other people. Wow. The latest version of this Happy Planet study, known as Happy Planet 2.0, now has Costa Rica ranked number one, and the U.S. is up to 114th. Wonder what caused that. We're in a recession. We're not supposed to be happy. You know, I don't, maybe we've discovered the simpler things in life. Maybe so. And I don't know about you, but part of me wants to go to Vanuatu. Part of me wants to go to Costa Rica. And part of me wants to just stay here and say, hey, let's just make it better here. Let's reprogram ourselves. Because maybe the American myth of independence is really not getting us what we really want. And of course, that's what God's been trying to tell us all along. You know, we were created for community with God and community with others. If you go back to the very beginning, start reading Genesis 1, God created everything, and he pronounced it good. The sun, good. The moon, good. The stars, good. The animals, good. The plant life, all of that good. And then he created Adam, and he said, it's not good that he's alone. So he created Eve. You see, people were never intended to live independent of God or each other. We're created for community. So why is it we try so hard to live independently, pretending we don't need anyone? I don't know. I've got a theory. I think it's probably because at some point we've all been wounded by community gone astray. Because the story goes on to say that when people turned away from God and his will, it separated us from God and from each other. Started pointing fingers. It's his fault. It's her fault. It's his fault. You know, Adam and Eve ran and they hid from God. They couldn't decide whose fault it was, so they covered themselves up and they hid from each other. They hid from God and they ran out of fear, and we've been running ever since. But fear of what? Well, most of us have things that we're afraid other people are going to find out. You know, we hide that stuff. We don't. I'm guessing you don't go up to someone and introduce yourself saying, hello, I'm Valerie. Let me tell you a few things about me that you need to know. I really need a lot of validation because I grew up my whole life feeling ugly and unwanted. What's your name? You don't do that. You don't introduce yourself by leading off with your darkest secrets. Hello, my name's Reggie. I just want you to know I may look like I've got it all together and everything going for me, but that's really, I'm just overcompensating for my insecurities. I've really actually always been afraid I'll end up with nothing and no one will like me. So it's a lonely way to live, but I cope with it through my addiction to alcohol and internet pornography. What's your story? You know, we don't do that. And we laugh because we're a little bit nervous about it, you know, because that's totally against the rules. We can't do it that way. The rules are you put on your mask, you hide, because you're not supposed to reveal that stuff. Or you pay the painful price when you do reveal it. Feelings of judgment, condemnation, rejection. So most of us just feel alone and isolated. Not fully known, not fully secure about ourselves, not fully confident we would be accepted. I would be accepted if you really knew the whole truth about me. Henry David Thoreau wrote, most people lead lives of quiet desperation. An unconscious despair is concealed even under what are called the games and amusements of mankind. Bottom line, we run, we hide. More than anything else, we really want to be known. We really want to be loved. And we want to belong in community. So what if God changed the rules? What if we allowed God to change the rules? What if the rules have already been changed and we just acknowledge it? What if What if God's desire was to completely turn the tables over and start again with a set of rules designed to wipe out all the effects of sin, of turning away from God, that have alienated and isolated us not only from God but from one another? What if God's new rules were these three rules? Rule number one, this is God speaking. Rule number one, there's no condemnation from me. There's grace through what Christ has done. Accept him so that there will be no need for fear of anyone else's judgment. Rule number two, no more hiding and pretending. In this community of grace, I want you to learn to stop hiding and pretending so that you can experience freedom and life-giving community. Wow. Amen. Rule number three, walk together with me and others in authentic community, and you will all grow up to be more of what I intended. Wow. Those will preach right there. We may take the next 3 weeks and preach on those rules. You see, understand, those rules wouldn't eliminate the consequences of our sin, but they would allow us the support that we need when we repent from our sin, right? You know, isn't that what we want? The support and encouragement. We know we're not perfect, but when we mess up, we don't need people to tell us we're not perfect again. What we need is people to love us and encourage us, to bring us into fullness of community. And what if this church community right here decided this morning that we want to change the rules and live by God's rules? Wouldn't that be good? I think it'd be awesome. Could you do it? If not, what are you afraid of? Because College Park, if we really believe that no perfect people were allowed, we would have to acknowledge the fact that none of us are perfect, right? None of us are perfect. There's not a person here, to go back to last week's analogy, there's not a person here that hadn't got muddied up in life circumstances. Yeah, and we all need cleaning up. And we need the master to do the cleaning. Romans chapter 3 says, we've all sinned. All fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet now God in his gracious kindness declares us not guilty. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sin. And there are no perfect people. And yet we pretend, we play games, we run, we hide, because the rules of the world have told us if they only knew who you really are and how you really are, if they really saw what you were about, they'd judge you, they'd run away from you, they'd leave you alone. And churches, unfortunately, have verified that fear over and over and over and over and over again. By God, by his grace, by God, by his grace, he has set us free. And if we will just receive it, if we'll take it in, if we'll let it mark us indelibly, it will change our life. Because he's declared us not guilty, not condemned, fully forgiven, accepted, adopted, loved by the only one who truly knows us. Ephesians chapter 3, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. Jason read it a few minutes ago. Let me pick up a few verses from it. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derive its name. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of God's people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. And if God is willing to do that for us, what in the world makes us think that we have the right to withhold that same kind of mercy and grace to one another? Yet we do a pretty good job, I think. We do a pretty good job of welcoming people. I believe that. I get that kind of feedback. We do a good job of welcoming people. And I know that there are pockets within the congregation of genuine community. And I believe even to a certain extent, there's a level of transparency. To an extent. But our job is to extend that to the whole body. Thank you, Rita. Love you, honey. To the whole body. to the whole body. And not just the body that we select, but the whole body that's gathered. And all who would come in. Uh-oh. And all who will come in. And if we're willing to risk authenticity, then here's what God's family can do. We can live in authentic truth. And as I thought about this, I remembered times sitting around my dinner table. Our family, when we grew up, we always had supper together, no matter what time of night that had to happen. We always had supper together. And I remember the stories that were exchanged, the truths that were taught. And I thought, you know, there was a lot of truths that marked me in my life as I sat in the community of my family. There were a lot of truths that marked me by people that I gave authority to in my life. Some of those truths I found out really weren't that accurate. Some were right on target. But we've all been shaped by experiences in communities, whether it's a small community or an extended community. And we're shaped by that. And we have to understand that sometimes we need to wash away what isn't truth and get back to what is authentic truth. And the way we do that is we return to God's Word. So I say all that basically to say that the community must be based on the truth of God's Word. Amen? Otherwise, I mean, we're flying in the wind out here. It's got to be based on God's Word. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what is true about us? Let me give you some examples about what is not true. The media will tell us that we shouldn't be satisfied until we're airbrushed to perfection. The media tells us that the ends do justify the means. The media tells us that we're just objects for one another's desires. The media tells us that because of all that I've accomplished, I'm the center of the universe and people should do what I want them to do. And the effect of those lies is that it's gradually stained us. I've used the example of the frog in a kettle before, but it really is so apropos. I want to go back to it. For those of you who haven't heard the example, the illustration is that if you try to throw a frog into a pot of boiling water, it'll jump out. It has sense enough to get out. But if you put a frog in a pot of cold water and gradually turn up the heat, it'll boil to death, because it cannot sense the gradual changes in the temperature. And I'm a little embarrassed to tell you that my senior year in high school, after our advanced biology teacher told us this little truth, that some of my buddies tried it, and it really does work. I mean, you can boil a frog and the frog just didn't go anywhere. All right? And it does work. And the reason is, the gradual change, the lies that just keep kind of coming at us, they just beat us down. They just stain us. They just keep turning up the heat. And what that does is it destroys our relationships. It makes us afraid. It makes us unsure. It keeps us from taking risks for God's sake. And it keeps us from experiencing God's full intent for our lives. So how do we fix it all? Let's think about God's plan for His new family. Through His new family, we can receive a cleansing, washing away the lies, washing away the stain, turning back down the heat. We are to speak His truth in love. Speak the truth, but speak it in love for one another. Accept one another's burdens as Christ accepted us unconditionally. Build each other up. Then we can grow up to actually experience what God says is true about us. And then we can help each other find freedom, true freedom, freedom in Christ. That that is really probably the reason that I believe so much in Christian education. We need to connect to small groups. We need to learn the truth about God's Word. We need to have smaller groups where we can love and encourage one another so that we're free to extend that to larger groups. Because as we create a culture of community, and as we learn to treat one another and trust one another more like Christ treats us, you know, and as we do that, then we really begin to find freedom in Christ. Freedom to be who God intended for us to be. I think that's what genuine community is supposed to be about. And I invite you this morning to help make College Park such a place. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we know that we're imperfect people. We know your Son was perfect. He was without sin. Father, we know that we're not him. We know that we mess up constantly. But we know that because of the power of forgiveness that he offers, that we can become new creations in Christ. Father, forgive us when we doubt who we are. Father, encourage us to discover who you want us to be. Father, encourage us to help one another discover who we are, not only individually, but as the full body of Christ. Father, give us your wisdom, give us your patience, give us your understanding, your boldness, your courage, your gentleness and compassion as we exhort and love and encourage one another. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning, say, Raymond, I'm not sure that this whole relationship with Christ thing, I don't have that settled. I want to give you an opportunity. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here and you say, well, I am a Christian, but boy, this is kind of new information to me, this whole community thing. You can certainly pray where you are. I'd be glad to talk with you here. The altar will be open if you want to come and kind of set things straight, reprioritize, and that's time that you can spend with God however you choose to do so. If you're here this morning, you say, I want to be part of this community. I've enjoyed getting to know some of the people here, and I'm looking forward to being a part of here. There's many ways that we receive members. I'll be glad to share those with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to take this time that we have to sing. Make it a time where you can recommit yourself to Christ. For that is his purpose. That is his desire for your life. I ask you to stand now and sing. Make this a time of recommitment in your own life.
We try.
invite you to come back tonight, have good supper, good time of fellowship, and hear about the mission trip to New York City. Come be with us tonight beginning at 5:30. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you for this day and all of its blessings. Thank you for the joy of community here in this place. Father, we pray that as we go from here, that we would extend the walls, that we would extend your mercy, your grace to all that we encounter. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.